Welcome to the Sunday AM podcast. We are a church located at the Carrick Centre in Ballincollig. Join us for prayer, praise, teaching and fellowship every Sunday morning at 11 a.m.
Thanks, Bill. This morning, as we look at this passage, as Bill has said, I do have a lot of slides, but I am going to be flying through the slides, so do not worry about the quantity of the slides. Now, you might think that this passage that we have just read is a strange one and doesn't really relate to your life and my life today and tomorrow and whatever we'll be doing through the week. But it is a really important passage, and a really important passage on our adventure of faith. When we hear about our forefather Abraham, we're looking at this as a passage that not only includes God's promised people, the Jews, but also opens up to the uncircumcised, to the Gentiles, to everybody across the world. And Paul was writing to the church in the city of Rome and saying that actually, yes, this is good news for Jews, but it's also good news for Gentiles, good news for the world. And for me, as I look at this passage and delve deeper into Romans chapter 4, there is this sense of adventure of faith, this adventure that we are on together. I wanted to just unpack where we have been in our Romans series so far. We have heard of the problem of sin. We've heard of that all have sinned, Jew and Gentile have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And Bill picked this up the last time he was speaking with the "but now." You know, that the bad news is that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, but there is good news. And this passage contains one of the most central doctrines of the Christian faith and has practical application for our lives. It challenges legalism and how we normally think about things, and also the need for the cross, and also the inclusive nature of the Christian gospel. Right back at the start of Romans, we remembered that we were in this valley of sin, this darkness. But then set against the darkness is the diamond of salvation, what God has called us all to. And trying to explain this, I was reminded during the week of present-day Rome. We need to remember that Paul was writing to a body of church, a body of believers who were sitting in a city and who were trying to puzzle out, what does the message of Jesus mean for us? And right in the heart of the city of Rome is the Colosseum, and stands today. And I don't know if you've been to Rome and seen the Colosseum, but it is an incredible place, a place of so much misery, a place of so much death and suffering, but also a place where Christians have shown the world light in the midst of darkness. I don't know if you've ever seen the film Gladiator. Anybody seen the film Gladiator? Yeah? So there is this scene in Gladiator where the emperor has the power of life and death. If his thumb went down, it meant death to the person who was standing there in the middle of the arena. But if the thumb went up, that gladiator would be allowed to live. And so was the power of life and death in the hands of the Roman emperor. It's interesting, I was reading about this, and actually that was not the symbolism in Rome, but it gives an idea of still the emperor did have that power at his fingertips, even if he wasn't doing the thumbs up or down. But as we think about God, as we think about the one whom we serve, God is not a God of up and down thumbs. But what he has done, he has pronounced freedom. He has pronounced life across those who believe in him. And the big word that we find in Romans is this idea of justification. This idea of how God is able to work with us. That we have been justified by faith is how we stand before God. And I don't know if you've thought about the implications of this, how we stand before God. And this is really, really important. You know, we might not think about this day by day. You know, we have bills to pay. We have stuff to worry about. We have to put food on our tables. We may have health concerns. We might look at the news headlines and all of the other things that go through our minds day by day. But justification by faith is how we stand before God. And this is really, really important. If we have trusted God, if we have said yes to God, we are freed. We are released from sin. How God sees us, he sees us as righteous. He sees us as the perfected us. Even though we're going through all sorts of difficulties and all sorts of things day by day, and life may not be the way we have wanted it to be, but God sees us as righteous before him if we have trusted him. And what's brilliant about this is if we think about Abraham, where he was counted righteous was not after he had gone on his journey of faith and where God had called him to go. He was righteous beforehand. If you look at where it says in Genesis, it's not because he trusted God to deliver his son or to all the other bits and pieces across Abraham's life. A fascinating life. Do take a read at it. But where he was counted righteous was at the very start. That before he went on his big journeys, before God had given him a son in his old age, or before he was ready to sacrifice his son, it was right at the beginning of that relationship when God spoke at the very start to him. And this justification wasn't by the works Abraham did, but it was simply by trusting him. You know, so often we try to justify ourselves. We try harder and harder, doing more, impressing people, doing good works. If only I did another good work, I'd get in right relationship with God. That's not how justification works. It's simply trusting God and trusting him with everything. Now, well, I came across a story this week, which I thought was really helpful. I want you to imagine a friend has told you that there's a great restaurant has opened up. A great restaurant has opened up in Cork, and you have brought you make a booking and you bring a few friends round to this restaurant. Now, you didn't go onto Google and look at the menu. But when you arrive at this restaurant, you come to the table, and it's actually silver service. And so much, there's so much on the menu. Now, you open the menu, and your eyes go down, and it's delightful stuff. But then you trace the little dots across, and you see the cost of things, and you think, I might not go for the starters. But you've invited your friends, so your friends have started to look down the menu and love the delicacies that are on this menu. And then the wine list comes out, and your eyes go, maybe I'll have a glass of water. And then you look at the desserts, and the desserts are incredible. But again, and the costs are all there. And you have a nice meal, but at the back of your head, you're thinking, how much do I have in my account? But your friends have eaten the meal, and you say, we'll sort it out, and it'll all be grand. And then tea and coffee arrive, and you have the tea and coffee, and then you go back, you go up to the cash desk at the end, and you reach into your pockets, and you get out your credit card, and you think, wonder how this is going to go. And you hand over the credit card, and then to your absolute surprise, the guy at the cash desk says this: the owner has paid your bill. The owner has paid your bill. I wonder what you would have done differently if you knew that the owner had paid your bill. Folks, as we think about this justification by faith stuff, God has paid the bill. He has paid the cost. He is the one who wants you to live life and live it more abundantly. He has paid the bill. Now, we do like safety and security, but what if we know that the future is secure? What if we know that God, the God who loves us, the God who has a plan for our lives, is there for us? The life of Abraham, the example of Abraham, is an example of ups and downs of life. Life was not simple for Abraham. But he was somebody who moved his family, trusting God no matter what. He had ultimate confidence in God, seeing problems in the light of God, God's amazing grace. And in the passage this morning, we read this, that in fact, Abraham was if Abraham was justified by works, he had something to boast about. He could say, you know, I've been able to do that by myself. But what does Scripture say? Scripture says Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. And then, in what circumstances was it credited? Was it after he was circumcised or before? It was not after, but before. That actually God had credited his account as righteous. God has credited our account, if we trust in him, as righteous. God has this sorted out. What is this? We read in the passage there that, when we do some work, we get paid for it. We get a paycheck at the end of the month. But this gift of righteousness, this gift of justification by faith, has been given to us. This great gift of God's grace has been given to us. And there's nothing we can do to earn it. We don't have to do works to earn God's favor. Lots of religions do that. There's lots of different ways of thinking about, earning your way to God. But actually, the Christian faith stands by itself, by saying, actually, God has paid the price. God has made us righteous. His grace is sufficient for us to be able to know that the price has been paid, and that what we do is a response to God's grace and his love. I don't know about you and your tolerance for adventure, but one of the things of the outdoor pursuits that I love is abseiling. I absolutely love abseiling. because I don't have to do too much. I hate climbing. I hate having to climb walls because my upper body strength is not great. But being able to be up at the top and then abseil down is such an adventure that I trust the ropes that are holding me. I trust the guy at the top and his safety rope, and then the other ropes that I can control as well. Last week, I was talking about the adventure out to Uganda that I was on, and part of the fundraising venture of that particular team was to abseil down a church tower in Korean, up in County Antrim. And it was fascinating. It was a cold day, but we were standing on top of the church tower and then having to edge your way to 90 degrees and then have to bounce the whole way down this church tower. But the trust that I needed to be able to put in the rope and also in the people that knew what they were doing was important. And so it is with this sense of justification by faith, that actually trusting God, taking God at his word, and that adventure begins. You know, even if life does not work out how we had planned, I'm sure Abraham and Sarah had ideas of what their life would be like, but it didn't turn out the way they thought it was going to be. He ended up going with his family and moving around and trusting God, even though things did not make sense. But I just wonder, how would your life and my life be different if we fully trusted God? I love the bracelety things that, or whatever the cool kids call them these days. There's one's WWJD, but there was also another one when I was a teenager was FROG, fully reliant on God. And I wonder how we would be if we were fully reliant upon God. Abraham became known, a really cool title, a friend of God. Or David, as we heard about in the reading as well, he became a man after God's own heart. Those are titles that we also, through the promise, through this incredible opening up of the promise to everyone, we're able to step out of our comfort zone. You know, if we realize how much God loves us, how much we are secure, how much we are protected because of this doctrine of justification by faith, of stepping out into Jesus' footsteps, that he has declared you right with him through faith. He has declared you right with him through faith. As we think about this adventure, as we think about this opening up of the promise, what is God calling you to individually? What does it look like for Monday morning? What does it look like in school, in workplaces, to actually be reliant upon God and to see him, how he sees you? And then also for us as a church body, how reliant we are upon God for everything. I want to conclude with this. Your identity, your whole identity, is caught up within this promise as a child of God, as a child of the one Heavenly Father, as an inheritor of the kingdom of God, as a friend of God, as a son or daughter of the King. What might seem at first to be a really dense passage of Scripture There is something really exciting about this opening up and actually what it means for us as individuals. Do you know yourself as a child of God, as an inheritor of the kingdom of God, as a friend of God, as a son or daughter of the King? God is a God who really wants us to know how loved we are, how beautiful we are, how incredible we are, that we have been blessed, that the bill has been paid, that the promise is for us, and that He sees you. He sees you. He knows you. And even in the midst of all the craziness that's going on in life, or how we might look down upon ourselves, actually Jesus, God the Father, sees us, sees you as His child, His friend, His son or daughter. And He will see us through. He wants us to trust Him. He wants us to know that we are loved. That even when we do stuff wrong, He wants us to come and, yes, say sorry, but the relationship is restored. He sees us as the perfected us as well. And there's just something incredible about that, that actually we have been justified. When we say justified, we mean found innocent before Him. That is incredible. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You that You are the God who loves us, the God who sees us for who we are. You are the God who gives us the blessed assurance that we can have a living relationship with You. Help us to know that blessed assurance. Help us to take that blessed assurance from our head to our heart and know that we are loved by You, that we are accepted by You. And there's nothing that we can do to make You love us any more. And there's nothing that we're going to do that will make You love us any less. Help us, Lord, to know that blessed assurance that You are indeed with us, that You love us, and that You will see us through. You will see us safely through. We thank You, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening. If you would like to know more about the Sunday AM service, visit our website at www.cupcork.ie or follow us on Instagram at Sunday AM Cup Cork. Our church services are held on Sunday at 11 a.m. in the Carrig Centre in Ballincollig.